This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hey!
Marshall Faulk here on the Rich Eisen Show. You got any 2 cents on Urban Meyer? All that stuff?
The Rich Eisen Show.
I told you so.
Hey!
Earlier on the show, NFL on Fox analyst Greg Olson. Saints quarterback Taysom Hill. From NBC Sports Boston, Tom Curran. Still to come, Dolphins head coach Brian Flores. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Airing of grievances here on this Festivus, December 23rd. Your sports grievance, what upsets you, anything in the world that might upset you. Let's get it off your chest. Because we did that earlier in this hour, or in this program, in our third hour here on this busy Thursday. Taysom Hill, the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, we recorded him yesterday, and in about 20 minutes' time, we'll play it back, certainly in light of the fact that he's out for Monday now because he's COVID positive, as is Trevor Siemian. Looks like Ian Book, the Golden Domer, is going to put the fleur-de-lis on top of his current goldish dome inside the Super Dome and try and come up with a big W in his first career start. Hey, congratulations, Ian. First career start. It's Monday Night Football. Team needs you. Didn't think you'd be anywhere close to doing it. But I guess any quarterback in a quarterback room's got to think, I have a chance. I might have to play this week. Because who the hell knows anymore in this crazy mixed up world?
Yeah, great point I saw on Twitter earlier in regards to Dalvin Cook. What if Kirk Cousins is a close contact, which is conceivable?
I know. That's the problem if you're unvaccinated. That's what the rules still are. If you're unvaccinated and you're a close contact, you're out 10 days. Doesn't matter what you test. Out. See ya. Which is why we were saying hashtag take the jab. So, and I just hope everybody's healthy. Everybody's getting COVID. Everybody's either on a close contact. I hope you're as asymptomatic as possible because getting this thing is no joke. It is no fun. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's go to Jeff in Detroit. He's been hanging on forever. How you been, Jeffrey? What's going on?
What's up, Uncle Rich and my cousin?
What up, cousin?
Yeah, you. Hey.
I change it up a little bit. First of all, I want to thank you guys for this year. You guys have done wonderful. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
And your families.
Thanks,
now, man. This Festivus thing, my question is this. Can I air my grievance about anything?
Yeah, anything.
Let me get it together. Right. I drive for Lyft. I drive for Uber. And I'm sure every other red-blooded American has this problem. When I call as a driver to Uber customer service, you push 1 for English, 2 for other languages. What happens is they transfer you to a phone bank, something like Slumdog Millionaire, overseas. And you start talking to somebody with an American-type name, an American-type accent, but halfway through, they don't understand what you're saying, or you give them a word, and you know what the first thing out of their mouth is? Oh, I understand. Oh, I understand. And you never get to the bottom of your problem. Why? Because they can't understand you. There's a language barrier. Uber, Lyft, please, it's enough people over here in America. Get an English-speaking person on the phone. If I push one for English, please speak English.
It sounds like that's...
You need to hear my frustration.
Jeff, it also sounds like that works for the Lions, too, sometimes.
Oh, my goodness. And you know what? Listen here. Dan Campbell, and that's number 2. Dan Campbell, which coach are you? Are you the coach that, with 3 minutes left on the clock, you're 3-14 on your own 25 and you're down by 3, and you run the ball? Or are you that coach that stepped out on the field, had every man behind you going in the battle like the 300? Now, he needs to keep that consistently.
Yeah.
Because if he keeps that going, oh, baby, what type of... Uncle Rich, and we're so ready to get behind them. We really are. I mean, we probably have most love for a 2-11 coach more than anybody.
Why not? Because they keep playing their hearts out. There's only been a couple of blowouts where it was not even close, and now they're playing a bunch of players that didn't get chances anywhere else and are making the most of it here, and they just beat the Arizona Cardinals. And we'll see what happens this week, man, with Atlanta. Let's see if they can follow it up. And happy holidays to you and yours as well, Jeff. In Detroit, right here on the Rich Eisen
Show.
Jeff.
Thank you.
For one of
thank you.
Be well, Jeff.
By the way, when he said number two is talking about Dan Campbell, was he talking about other languages? Is that what he's talking about? Biting kneecaps?
Biting kneecaps, yeah.
Let's go to Jeff in Lexington, Kentucky. What's up, Jeff?
What do you say, Rich and guys? First of all, before I air my grievances, let me wish you all happy holidays.
Same to you.
Same to you, man.
Same to you, pal.
What's on your mind, Jeff?
You guys make every day better, I'm telling you. Here's my thing, Rich, and this probably doesn't affect a whole lot of people other than me, but I absolutely despise and hate the graphic that Fox uses on its broadcast of the players, the characterization.
The cartoon? You don't like the cartoon?
I absolutely hate that.
What's the problem with the cartoon? Why not? Kids dig it.
I realize they're just trying to be different because everybody else does the same thing. But maybe it's just me. I don't like it. I've never liked it. I guess they introduced it last year.
Yeah, I think so. I think they did that. And all right, thanks for the call, Wolf. We should have the Del Tufo pass that on to the graphics department right there. I think they did do it last year, but I think you know, the minute that Nickelodeon starts putting slime on the screen, and it's definitely for kids.
But that's a second broadcast window.
You know?
I see part of the point is that some of them, the cartoons, don't look like the guys, and I think that's a bit of an issue, no?
Yeah, that's the problem. It's the artist rendering, right?
Yeah.
It's somewhere between you know, an actual photograph.
Right.
And
like a caricature.
And the Tom Brady court sketch.
A little bit. And they all have like super jacked, you know, cartoon.
Well, that's what it is.
Marvel
it's
muscles.
Superhero. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's for kids. It's not for adults. I look at it and I'm like,
I guess.
I don't know.
I feel Jeff's, you know, thoughts there. That's all.
Well, anytime you see something that you think is not for you and for a different audience, it gets you upset.
Me personally? You know,
no, just people in general.
Yeah, I think we tend to forget that a lot of this stuff is for the kids, man. And
it is.
Yeah.
And Chris, the adults are the one complaining.
Chris in Seattle, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Rich. How you guys doing?
We're good. What's on your mind?
All right. Yesterday, I appreciate you all bringing attention to the end of the era in Seattle. I've loved the Hawks my whole life. But what caused me to get the pole out of the crawl space and air my grievances this year is Albert Breer claiming that Seattle's front office has only recently been struggling in the draft. He's been dodging me on Twitter. I'd like him to explain it, but I needed to air that here because if you look back, they haven't had a good draft since 2012. They've been struggling since 2013 and on. You know, this year's draft, who knows yet, right? You can't judge it yet, but they've been struggling for about 9 years to draft, and that includes all the trades, right? The Harvin, the Graham trade, and now the Adams trade, which with that contract and those picks. I'm happy for your Jets, right, that you're getting your picks. But they have struggled for a long time, and it's finally coming to – it's showing on the field. But this roster's been depleting for a while. So
Well, I've had a lot of grievances with Albert Breer over the years myself, so I understand what you're saying. But, I don't – when I say stuff so absolute – even though a show like this is made for people in a position like I am in front of this microphone, is to say things that are absolute and, you know, come at me when I'm proven wrong. You know, I don't like saying things absolute because I've been around, and thanks for the call. I've been around long enough with this NFL that you can't say things that are absolute. There's just, you can't. One of the many absolute things that you could have said this year, for instance, is that the Miami Dolphins are finished at 1-7. Here we are now, a month and a half later, and they are anything but going on the road on Monday Night Football, but Tua is the more veteran quarterback now. with a 6-game winning streak. And he's going to be going against Ian Book, it seems, who learns on Thursday. Okay, you're starting, kid. All right. That absolute, right? Another absolute. Mac Jones is just going to, the Patriots are going to struggle this year with Mac Jones. I could go on and on and on and on. But now's the time of year when you could look at what you're seeing and get a sense. Certainly since there's been a setup from the winter to the spring to the summer. And when I saw the Seahawks and how they're playing, and I just see Russell Wilson, you know, there just doesn't seem to be that same bounce for him. Now, there's not a lot of reason to have bounce. But whatever's going on there ain't working. DK Metcalf goes from world beater to side of the proverbial football milk carton. Like, how does that happen? How does it happen? I know that they were down a bunch of players, and Brady was down a bunch of players this week too and got shut out. But that game was there for the taking. They did get hosed on a non-pass interference call. But I just see it, and it looks like it's done there. Definitely looks like it's done in Chicago. Uh-huh. And it just feels like the run for Russ. Is it possible that Russ and Pete get together, and they get together with John Schneider, and they decide, we're going to keep going. You got 2 years left in your contract. We're not going to trade you. So you could talk about whatever you want with your agent. You could leak whatever you want to The Athletic. You could do whatever you want, but we're not going to, you're here. So what do we need to do? And next year, we're talking about this may be the last year for Russell Wilson. Sure. I just don't, that's part of the reason why I don't like saying anything absolute, because they do have 2 years of contractual control and he is there. And he is theirs. And they are his. Unless he just makes it in such a way that I want out. And I got 2 years of contractual control that you could put on the table and say, give us the first round selections we don't have to get Russell out and then figure out who else can come in. That's a brave new world up there. But you just get the sense watching them that this thing is just not the same. Like, this is, those are the types of games where they would go in back in the day, or last year even, a couple years ago, before all that, go in and just stomp on the Rams. Jam it down their throat. Put 30 on them. Russ would be so difficult to put down on the ground. He just drives you crazy, where Donald is chasing him around, zigzagging everywhere, and they just, you're watching that thinking they don't have a shot. That second half, opening second half drive on Tuesday night, that's the stuff. We hadn't seen that in a long time. Certainly not consistently enough. But they came out and they just jammed it right down the field, and I thought, uh-oh, Rams are in trouble tonight. And then poof. So that's the grievance there from Seattle. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Stay on hold. We'll take your phone calls when we come back as well. When we return, Taysom Hill, as we spoke to him yesterday before his COVID-19 diagnosis. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back here on the Rich Eisen Show in a matter of moments. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this Air Your Grievance Festivus Thursday. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. You may or may not know. If you don't know, how not? I've been doing this now for all 15 weeks of the NFL season. Week 16 will be the latest, where I will be hosting the pregame and halftime of Monday Night Football on Westwood One. And the great folks at Westwood One, and I send my best to Howie Denneroff and Larry Costigan and Brian Finkelstein and everybody else who's been just so great as producing the Monday Night Football. We've been getting, if you've noticed, a lot of guests here on this show in advance of Monday Night Football, because, you know, this is how everyone rolls in one big happy Westwood One family. At any rate, Taysom Hill agrees to do an interview, and this was yesterday, after the show, stuck around, chatted with him, and now he's got COVID. And your heart breaks. Obviously, we're talking about health and players' health and human health and public health and what have you. And I hope he's asymptomatic, and I hope he is well, because this is an opportunity that when you hear the conversation with him, he was robbed of it. He's robbed of this start on Monday night. Would have meant so much for him, if certainly the way things are going. Here is my conversation with Taysom Hill, the Saints quarterback, as of yesterday. Joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show right now, fresh off of a second consecutive win for the 7-7 New Orleans Saints prior to Monday Night Football against the Miami Dolphins. Joining us here is New Orleans Saints quarterback on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, Taysom Hill. How you doing, Taysom?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Rich.
Absolutely. I knew you reached out. You're like, look, I want to come on your show and I want to talk about how I dominated Tom Brady. So the floor is yours, Taysom. Go for it. Go for it.
Yeah, that sounds like me.
It's out of character, I guess. Right?
Yeah, that was a bucket list type of game. You know, you think about as a kid growing up playing Sunday Night Football against Tom Brady. Look, shoot, I've been watching Tom since I was a little kid. So, that was a big game, a fun game, and obviously such a great team effort that we were able to come away with a win.
So, did you get a chance to tell Tom that, Taysom, or just that just wasn't the right moment? Right.
No, obviously, you know, Tom coming to the division last year, I'd seen him multiple times, and he knows I'm a fan and grew up watching him, as, you know, I'm sure everyone else in the league can say the same thing. But, I've been able to express that to him. And, so this wasn't the first time that I had seen him. Obviously, the first time I've gone head to head against him in this role. But, it was a lot of fun.
And obviously, win or necessary win. I mean, that was huge. What was it like in the locker room after that 9-0 win, Taysom?
Look, we overcame a lot that week, losing Sean, yep. And a lot of people had to step up. And, it was a total team effort, and that's kind of what we had talked about that whole week. That's what we talked about in the locker room on Sunday night, and I think everyone felt that, and the celebration was conducive to that. So as you would expect, I think, you know, we all celebrated, we all had fun, but we're also aware of our situation that, you know, at this point, every game is a playoff game for us, and we've got to continue to put our best foot forward and make sure that we, you know, handle our business so we can, you know, just create an opportunity to make the postseason.
And that's where I kind of want to linger a little bit in our conversation here, Taysom Hill, is that, you know, obviously starting last year, it was in place of an injured Drew Brees. And now starting here, you are the man, and with a lot of hopes on your shoulders and also, you know, your finger, which we'll get to in a second. How do you handle that? Obviously, this is what you live for. This is why you play the game, but now you're in it. So what do you think about that, Taysom Hill?
Well, it's a good question. I think it's important that, especially for me, like my role here in New Orleans has been so unique through the years. And I think maybe historically I've kind of looked into it, you know, where you kind of almost psych yourself out a little bit. I can tell you last year, stepping in as a backup, knowing that Drew was you know, getting ready to come back and make this playoff run, you kind of just have this mindset as a backup that, like, man, I don't want to mess this up. And as you alluded to, it's a totally different mindset right now than it was last year for me. And so, you know, as we go through game plans, all that stuff, like, I've become much more involved in expressing my opinion and what I like and dislike and, you know, all that stuff. Because at the end of the day, you know, you have to create opportunities for the team to win. And I think you need to understand the game plan and, you know, what it's going to take to win each game, because each week it's different. You know, so it's a different beast. But as I alluded to earlier, it's, for me, it's been all about taking advantage of whatever the opportunity is for me. And this just happens to be the one right now.
And I feel for you, because your head coach, unfortunately, is a wallflower who doesn't know anything about confidence. Oh, wait a minute. He's the exact opposite. My bad. What is your conversation with Sean Payton like now in this role?
Yeah, you're talking with him out with COVID and stuff?
No, just in general. Forget about the COVID, because clearly, okay, you know, he's going to come back from it and you'll get him back. But the fact that you were handed the reins by him pre-COVID, the whole conversation about, like, you're the guy. Like, what does he say? What are those conversations between the two of you like there on that front?
You know, honestly, they were brief this time. You know, Sean and I have had many conversations throughout the years, and, you know, honestly, the one that I had with him a few weeks ago telling me that I was going to go was probably one of the conversations that was most brief.
Really?
And he just told me that, hey, you're the guy. Like, you know, you're going this week, and, you know, let's go, and it's time. And that was really it. And then we started working.
That's it. There was, I guess that's for the movies the other way, right?
Just
where you sit down. But I mean, I guess it, as they say in the NFL, it is what it is. And what you've been doing the last couple of weeks has been terrific, especially since when I saw your finger and it looked a lot similar to Russell Wilson's that required surgery, I thought, uh-oh, there goes that opportunity. Taysom Hill, walk me through what happened with your finger and why you're able to continue to play with it right now.
So it is the same injury from my understanding as Russ. It's just in the joint above where his was. So mine is right at the tip of your finger on my middle finger, where if it would have been a joint lower as Russ's was, then, you know, I would have been in big trouble. I basically ruptured the flexor tendon in the very tip of my middle finger, and so I can't extend my finger straight. And so we splinted it. We chose not to do surgery, and we're just going to keep it splinted for 8 weeks, and that should allow enough time for the tendon to heal. In the meantime, as I mentioned, it's splinted, so it obviously creates a little limitations of me, you know, gripping the ball, throwing the ball, you know, that type of deal. But, you know, our trainers have been great here. They've created so many options for me and different things for me to try that creates, you know, the best scenario for me to do what I need to do. And, you know, we've been able to make it work.
That's amazing. I'm like, that's amazing Taysom. There's no other way to describe it other than amazing that you're able to have that. So what do you wear? Are you splinted as you're throwing a football, or you're wearing, because I thought I saw some sort of covering in a way. Did I see that over the last week? What do you have there?
Well, thank you. I'm sure you could talk to just about everybody in the NFL. We're all dealing with something at this point in the season,
right?
Playing through injury. You know, it is a little disappointing, you know, to have to deal with an injury on your throwing hand as a quarterback. But as I mentioned, it's splinted. So we have this material that you can get really warm and that kind of molds to your hand or your whatever it is. In this situation, it's the top of my finger, and then we cut it down, and then we basically just tape that to the top of my finger so my finger stays straight. Mm-hmm. And then we have this other tape that has some grippy material on the front of it, almost like the same material that you see on all the receiver gloves and tight end gloves and that. And then we put that over the tape to try to just give me a little bit of tack on that finger, because you're not getting any tack with tape. And like I said, our trainers have been so great to work with, and they've created so many options for me. And this is the one that I felt like is the best.
MacGyver or MacGruber, what's their name, their trainer? I mean, my gosh, that's incredible that you're you have this option for you. And when you're running Taysom Hill, now that you know you're, again, the starter here, do you think about sliding more? Because I'm seeing you invite contact like it's like you're still on special teams a little bit, Taysom. No?
I this is something that I battled with my entire career, you know, where as a starting quarterback, you have to be available for your team or you don't do them any good. But I do think that, you know, there's so much to be said about situational football. So it's third and short. It's you're on the goal line, or, you know, whatever the scenario situation is. I'm aware of all those scenarios, and there are scenarios where I'm going to stick my head down and be a running back and do that. And then there are other scenarios where you get on the edge and you're open field, and, you know, so I am trying to limit contact, but There's some scenarios and situations where there's just no way around it.
Yeah, I would say so, and I saw all of that on Sunday night. So how much conversation you guys having about the playoffs here? Because that's two straight dubs. You just blanked Tom Brady. Your defense just blanked Tom Brady for the first time since the middle aughts, right? And the Bucs were ready to raise a division banner on Sunday night, and you prevented it. There has to be a nice brimming of confidence going on.
Yeah, right. I think we've had the same confidence through the season. It's just we've been dealing with injuries, and, you know, obviously every team has excuses throughout the league. But I think to your point, like, yes, we have a lot of confidence in what we have going right now. In terms of conversations about the playoffs, I would say that we're very aware of the scenarios right now and the situation and where we're at. And so that's kind of what I was alluding to, where every game for us is a playoff game. And we know that we have to have our best. And that really has been the expectation around here. So I would say we're not psyching ourselves out and, you know, like, you know, saying end of the world type of deal, but we're certainly aware of it. And, you know, our practices have been really good, and, you know, we're all in here grinding.
How much do you stay in contact with Breeze? Does he reach out to you? Give you a couple cents?
Yeah, I talk to him weekly. Yeah. We talk very regularly, game plan, game, you know, how things went, and
So what do you give me a fly on the wall moment here? What do you guys talk about? Like, I know you just gave me some brushstrokes, but what do you got? You got anything? Like,
that's a loaded question.
Okay.
I can tell you, you know, obviously my experience now has been more unique than anything I've experienced. And so we're obviously able to relate to each other on a different level now. And I would say there's been moments throughout the season too where he he has sent me a breakdown of every pass play that I've had in a game and given me feedback that way. And I mean, again, the list goes on, and we can talk about the football stuff, but, you know, really, Drew is just, he really has become one of my best friends, and there's so much more that goes into it.
So he sends you like a video, a link or something, and you open it up, and it's all your pass plays, and him what, like voicing over, this is what I saw, this is what you should do?
No, it's just a text, so, I mean... Drew hasn't been gone that long. He knows the concepts. He knows what we're doing, and so it's just a quick, almost like a grade report. You know, like, did you think about this? Good throw here. Good play here. And there's obviously new stuff as well, and so it's also funny for me because he'll reach out and he's like a little kid at a candy store when we do new stuff, and he's so excited about it. Like, oh, what were you guys doing there? He's still very much into it.
That's cool. Last one for you, Taysom. You just mentioned, you know, a bucket list thing to be playing against Tom Brady in a Sunday night football game, a Monday night football start. Where does that rank for you as a quarterback and somebody watching Monday night football games?
They all like go together. As you're a kid and I had all those moments when I was out in the front yard and I'm throwing balls with my brother and, you know, I'm putting scenarios in my head. Like, it's, you know, you're playing on Sunday night football, you're playing on Monday night football, and those are the scenarios that you dream of as a kid. So these are all up there, you know, to have the opportunity to play at this level on a nationally broadcast game. They're all up there. These are all childhood dreams.
Well, man, I really appreciate you calling in. I really do enjoy our chats when we get to have them. I'm thrilled for your opportunity. I can't wait to see what you do on Monday Night Football. And again, what you're doing with your finger being the way it is. The only thing I can say other than amazing, I'm just glad you're not a New Yorker, because then you couldn't tell people the way you really feel about them. You know, so there's that. That's the one silver lining then, I guess, in that
regard. There you go. Yeah. Well, I feel the same way. Thanks for having me, Rich.
Thanks, Taysom Hill. You're a good man. Taysom Hill, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And now he's got COVID. That was yesterday. So his opportunity that I was looking forward to, that he's talking about playing in the front yard as a kid, he's not going to have it on Monday night. And hopefully he'll have many more to come. It's just a bummer. This whole thing sucks. There's just no other way to put it. What a great chat. I thought that he was so honest about what's going on with his finger. So many people, but and also his relationship with Breeze and how, like, he's the man now. Like, this is his opportunity, right? And hopefully he can come back, just miss the one. If he misses just the one.
I mean, like we've been saying all week, like, this is a potential playoff team.
I know. And if the defense helped carry the day and Ian Book can put, like, a few touchdowns, I mean, a few field goals on the board, maybe the Saints do it again. And then they've got a home game against Carolina and they're at the Falcons. Those are two winnable games. Mm-hmm. That's why I had them as we're talking playoffs or what? I said, we're talking playoffs, not what, you know? So let's take a break. We'll come back, and there is some news on the COVID front about tonight's game and how that might play out in tonight's Week 16 kickoff. All the phone lines are lit. We'll let you air your grievances before you go out on this Festivus Thursday. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back, and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store, and use my code EISEN.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody. New Rich Eisen Show fantasy football team name for next year. Top of the list, Heineke's Viral Load.
It's on the list. I have it written down.
It's on the list. And I'll tell you what, we can now look back and say it's all good because Taylor Heineke came off the COVID list. And he's going to go for the Washington football team on Sunday night. Dak and the Cowboys in the NFC East showdown it's all coming down on NBC and Peacock. Let's go.
Hit him with the Heineken.
Let's go. However, tonight, if the Tennessee Titans win, the Cowboys will already clinch the playoff spot.
Hey.
That's what's at stake tonight.
Let's go.
And what do you got for me over there, Christopher, on the COVID front this evening? There's the Tennessee Titans are now down to their third tackle. For tonight's football game?
So Kendall Lamb, so Taylor Lewan and Roger Saffold are already out tonight.
Right.
Kendall Lamb's backup left tackle, he posted on Instagram about 45 minutes ago that he's out tonight with COVID.
Oh, here comes Nick Bosa.
So the Titans are down to their third string left tackle.
Boy.
With Nick Bosa having a monster
and let's just
coming.
Do you have the AFC South standings, Mr. Hawkins, please? Because it's getting tight fast. Now, Tennessee, after tonight's Thursday night football game with a mini bye, where hopefully they can get healthier, they've got the Dolphins, and then they're at the Texans to wrap things up. Colts need to be two games better than Tennessee the rest of the way. Tennessee. If they can get one right now, and then Indianapolis finishes up against the Raiders and Jaguars, and they just hope that the Titans have a tough go of it against the Dolphins. That could be what unlocks the Colts to get a home game and a division championship. It's not over yet. Titans win tonight, then they're feeling good. Titans win tonight, then they can hope for a Cardinals win over the Colts this weekend, and then they're done. Then they just print the playoff tickets, get Derrick Henry back as healthy as possible, and then get A.J. Brown back as healthy as possible. And have teams come through Nashville and say, okay, now you're going to have to deal with us. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's Festivus Thursday, and people have been airing grievances. Eric in Louisville.
Problems with you people. Yes. Now you're going to hear about it.
All right, Eric in Louisville, Kentucky. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Eric?
My grievance, Rich, is that there's no attention being paid to Mike McCarthy. Possibly becoming the first coach to win a Super Bowl with two different teams.
Woo! All right. That's entirely possible. I just think people don't think it's still probable just yet. They do have a defense that's championship. We need to see a little bit more out of the offense over the next few weeks. Maybe they're just or just can't handle the truth. You know what I mean?
If he does that, where does he rank in NFL history?
Ah. Well...
Ugh. It's got to be the greatest.
The greatest. Name the trophy, the McCarthy?
I mean, has anyone ever done it before?
Like a salad?
No one. Like he's the Neil Armstrong,
like
right?
It's a
he's
salad?
Planting the flag. He's planting that Festivus pole
right, let
in
me
the
give
ground.
You one, too. Let me give you one, too. And thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. Let me give you one, too. Do you know
Probably.
Who's the first coach ever to coach in a Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. And a college football playoff game? Do you know who that is?
The first coach to ever coach in the Super Bowl?
TJ, just think about who's asking the question and how he's been feeling the last few weeks.
It would have to be...
One, James Harbaugh. Yeah, I'll answer it for you.
I was just about to...
Exactly. I'll answer it for you.
Exactly.
Are you going to name the glass egg or something after him? He's one of the... I mean, that's what a... Who's going to do that?
It's not winning two Super Bowls with two different teams, Rich.
By the way, do you know who's not doing that? Urban Meyer.
True that.
He will not be doing that.
Ever.
Ever.
Also, Harbaugh could become the first coach to lose both a Super Bowl and a playoff game.
Okay,
good
fine.
Good point.
Fine. That game in which he lost, I'm sure, we're forgetting that it was a red zone opportunity at the very end of the game, and there's a certain Mr. Crabtree who feels he had a tug on his cape or two. There's a lot of conversation.
Or to back your guys' play, they could have just given it to future Hall of Famer Frank Gore.
Also true.
But one thing, you know, as I say, you never say never, but never. However, one thing Urban Meyer will not be doing is what Harbaugh is about to do.
Never say never, but
thank
never.
You. Thank you, Coach Tom. That was a great Festivus grievance there. No one's talking about McCarthy doing that. Because when he does it,
I don't want to live in that world, man.
Why?
Because you want to know why?
Because of me?
No. That means he has to go to the Hall of Fame. And the Hall of Fame immediately becomes discounted if Mike McCarthy is in it.
That's ridiculous.
Sam in Iowa, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Sam?
Hey, how you doing, Rich?
What's going on?
Shamir. We're going to talk about my Chiefs. I've been to, I wonder if Brockman could look something up. I've been to 6 playoff games the last 3 years and got a chance to go to 2, possibly 3 this year. Is that, you know, when's the last time I had 8 home playoff games in 4 years? And so to make that a lot easier, if we get the number one seed, is it possible that Tennessee and New England both have tough games this week? They could lose again.
It's possible.
And give us a chance for that number one seed. I know we're going to have a tough time with Pittsburgh without problems, and like to have a little leeway. I know they got the tiebreaker on us, so I'd like to see them both lose. They both got kind of winnable games for the last 2, so I'd like to see them get beat. And yep.
I would think
that number one seed and get 2 more home playoff games.
I would think you're going to pull up a chair and root for the Niners tonight. And then you'll pull up a chair and root for the Bills in the early window on Sunday. And you will hope that COVID-19 Omicron has stopped pulling up a chair in Arrowhead. And
definitely,
you know, and thanks for the call. And that's why the Chiefs are terrifically positioned coming into the final 3 weeks in the terms of the standings, and the tie breaks don't go their way with Tennessee, but perfectly positioned with the exception of there being an outbreak there. But at least it's been 2 straight days of no results that are positive. So that is a positive.
By the way, 8 home playoff games in 4 years. I believe that would be a record. The Patriots had 9 from 07 to 2013.
I would have to think the Bills in their run to the Super Bowl.
Oh, good. Let me check
4
that
years in
quick.
A row would have to be in that realm. Although, you know, for them, there were no, you know, 7th seeds or anything like that. But they had to have been home for most of them. I don't know how many road games they had. They were winning the AFC East. They were beating everyone like a drum with the K-gun and everything.
In 92, they played 2 on the road that year.
There you
year.
Go. So that'll be the end of that. That's why we have the internet. let's go to Nick in Portland. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Nicholas? Boy.
Here we go.
Let's give
it. What's up, Rich? Hey, Rich, thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Nick?
I got a couple here, and while I was sitting here, I thought of one. And both of them are show-related. Love a show, but thank I got you, a couple I got to get off my chest.
Go for it.
First off, I don't understand what the deal is with Mike Del Tufo, man. He is never at work. If I'm not at work as much as he's not at work, I don't think I'd have a job to go to. So I'm just trying to understand how lenient you are as a boss to allow this to happen. He's never there on a Friday, ever. Shout out to my boy Jay Felly.
Hey,
but
what's up?
He is just, you know, it's tough. And then when he is there, he's kind of never really there. So that's kind of part of my issue. Second one is this show has taken over so much of my life that I go home and I take the inside jokes of the show to my own family.
Hey.
So I'm having a difficult time. My kid says, hey, Dad, can I have another something? And I turned to him. I said, you want one more? And he's like, what? And he's looking at me like I'm crazy. So, you know, it's starting to bleed over.
Maybe I
just need more friends. But, you know, you guys are my boys.
That's
and
fun.
I love, you know, when you take my call, I love just listening. I catch you guys every day.
Thank you. At
work. I've just got you streaming on Peacock. So, you know, just want to
thank you.
Just wanted to get that off my chest and let you guys know I'm out there. But Del Tufo's got to get to work a little bit more.
So now, okay. So
appreciation, Nick.
Nick don't hang up on Nick yet. Nick, you still there? You there, Nick?
I'm still here.
Okay. Yeah. So as you know, as obviously you're a fan of the show, which is fantastic. to the point where you're giving Clooney Ocean's 11 drops to your family, and they're probably very confused. So you know I will always take my chance to take a shot at Del Tufo, right? You know I will always do that, right?
Like Steph Curry, you don't miss.
When Mike isn't here, it's not like he's out on his boat, and it's not like he's on a beach. He's actually working somewhere else.
Right.
Okay.
Well, allegedly.
Now, that's true.
Says that Mike was supposed to work a show off at his living room somewhere doing a remote site
right.
at the middle of the night. Your show's in the morning.
That's like, true, too. Now, that is my grievance, is that he's like, I got to set up. Like he's laying down all sorts of wires and cable at the Rose Bowl when all he's doing is going to a booth in Pico Boulevard to make sure that they're all checked in from the New England Revolution game.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
So yes, but Mike has a relationship with Fox that is long and deep and precedes even our show.
Yeah.
So I love and respect him. He says he's got to do it. He needs to do it. He wants to do it. He does it. Thankfully, Jay Felly is here to talk about his way of going about business, to show Brockman all the photographs on his phone of what's going on in his life, and you know, and that's talking
that's
about his,
better,
you know,
that's
so
why you're a better boss than I am.
No, he's added. He's
would have,
no Jay is value added. Okay, so
ass tattoos
on his buddy River, you know, and so yes, excellent call. Greatly appreciate it. Have a great holiday with you and your family, and I hope they're not too sick and tired of all of our inside jokes. Thanks for the call.
No, you too. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
All right, bro.
There you go. Nick in Portland, who probably doesn't appreciate you trying to poach Damian Lillard on a daily basis either.
It is what it is.
That might be another grievance for him. Lay off of number zero, man.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Let's go to Tom here in Los Angeles. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how you doing, Rich?
What's going on?
Thanks for having me. I'm a first-time caller, and actually, I'm embarrassed to say, a first-time listener.
Okay, first-time listener.
First-time listener. Oh.
I know. I'm sorry, man. I got to be honest.
Oh,
but
good.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I was sitting in our lovely traffic in the rain today on the 101.
Hey.
scrambling for Christmas gifts, and I said, hey.
Okay.
I've seen you on television, though. But here are my grievances.
Yes, sir.
Number one, I will tell you that I am a diehard Indianapolis Colts fan. I am from Indianapolis,
okay.
So I'm not on the bandwagon of the hottest team now in the NFL, and I don't buy into that. My big grief with the Colts, and I know that I may be proved wrong, and I hope I am, but they had an opportunity, I believe, and I could be wrong, to draft Jalen Hurts and have him be under Phillip Rivers' tutelage for a year. I realize that Carson Wentz is a warrior. He gets injured a lot. I call him Carson Wentz in all fun. But he's a warrior, and I got to tell you, he's been doing great. He's really improved. But I have this fear that at any second he's going to stub his toe, and I don't think that he still has it for the playoffs if we manage to get there. Now, imagine if you will.
Well,
if we had Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, let me just put it this way, too.
With Taylor in the backfield.
Right.
We have Darius, middle linebacker. I mean, how many guys have we got on the Pro Bowl this year? Okay? And look at our record.
Well, I got to jump in here. Since you are new here, we're up against the end of the hour. Welcome to the show. Please call back and tune in again. But you're in good shape with Wentz, brother. I know he banged up. I mean, the guy played on both. He had two sprained ankles, you know, and he missed one game. Jonathan Taylor's the star of the team. He's what makes the engine go, but I think Wentz is going to prove out. Cam Akers has just been designated to return for the Los Angeles
Hey-o.
Rams. That's what we call value added as well. Wow. So that means this week? Like back this Sunday? Oh, my goodness. Just in time for somebody's fantasy playoff.
Right.
Pick them up. All right. Let me take a break and grab my phone and make a pickup.